But I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter number 11, starting verses 19 to 21. To begin in just a moment. We're continuing our Africans in the Bible series while I've had fun with it. It's been a great one. We've gotten to know some great characters. We started off with Simon from Cyrene, who carried the cross of Jesus Christ. We traveled and met the treasurer of Ethiopia, Candace's treasurer, and spent some time there as well. We from there spent some time with the Queen of Sheba, and perhaps you've already received some Queen of Sheba spices. If not, we've still got a few bottles around, I believe. And last Sunday, of course, we got to know Abedmelech, who was a Cushite, who was there with Jeremiah and rescued him from the cistern, and we learned some great truths from him and gleaned them about how to be a friend and there for others as well in our own lives. This week, we're looking at a couple of individuals combined who go by the names of Simeon and Lucius. Simeon and Lucius, we're jumping ahead to the New Testament church in the book of Acts, and I'm going to read from Acts chapter number 11, verses 19 through 21 to begin, but you know they're the names that we're going to be looking for today as we walk through some great truths. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Acts 11, 19 through 21. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. Lord God, as we consider this account that took place in the book of Acts, as is always the case when we come to a narrative part of your word, more than a story, more than a historical account, Lord God, we know that the plan for your word is always that it will illuminate our paths. So I pray, Lord God, that even if the story is a refresher, a reminder to us, or if the story is new, that we won't end today simply being more familiar with a biblical story, but rather we will finish today more equipped to live for you, Lord God, to walk with you, to be who you have called us to be. May that be the result of our time in your word, and always the result of our time in your word. In Jesus' name, church, whether you're at home or in this room, would you just pray along with me right now and pray, Father, speak to my heart. Equip me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. They weren't following the plan. I want you to catch that as we start. They weren't following the plan. Now, in all fairness, we haven't always followed God's plan in our lives as well, right? I got the right people. Have you always done what God wanted you to do? We haven't always come through either. So in all fairness to the believers of the first century, I don't know that we would have done any better, but they weren't following the plan. They had been given a plan following the resurrection of Jesus from the tomb. The believers were hiding in fear, the Bible tells us. They were in fear that they also would be killed. Who could fault them? Jesus had been crucified. It would have been a frightening time for them. They were hiding. They were afraid. They didn't know what was going to happen, but Jesus appeared to them, and in the context of his appearing to them, he gave them what we today call the Great Commission. In fact, it's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. I want to read it to you. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus, after he had resurrected, but before he had ascended back to heaven, he told them this: therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That was the plan. That was the plan. The plan was go and make disciples. Now, you're going to have to talk to me. If you're in the room or if you're at home, you can type it in the chat or yell it out in your room. Go and make disciples of who? What was the plan? Go and make disciples of who? I just read it to you. Of all nations. I hear it around the room. Of everyone. Go and make disciples of all nations. That was the plan. Everybody was the plan. The whole world needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what actually happened was what we just read in our text in the book of Acts. What actually transpired was in Acts chapter number 11. Now, we already read it, but I'm going to read verse 19 again. You heard the plan. The plan was all nations. But here's what happened in Acts 11, 19. And this is all after the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. People are coming to know Jesus. But look at what's happening in Acts chapter number 11. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution, what had happened is at first the church had been all right, and then they had come in and there was some Roman persecution among them. So as a result of that, they started being scattered. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word, come on, only among Jews. That wasn't the plan. The plan was what? Make disciples of all nations. That was the plan. When Jesus had appeared to them after he had resurrected, he had said, all nations, everybody needs to become a part of this. But what was actually transpiring is those first century believers who were Jewish, Jesus was Jewish, that's not weird, that was his world, they were around him, they began spreading the word. But it specifically says only among the Jews. Now, there were a few rare exceptions that were taking place. Even in this series, we took time to look at when Philip had encountered the eunuch from Ethiopia. We saw that. And Philip had gone to Samaria. They were half Jewish, if you will. There were a couple of exceptions that were taking place. But by and large, the church was only growing among other Jewish people. People were telling people about Jesus, but they were only telling other Jewish people. The Bible specifically says that. It wasn't the plan. All nations was the plan. What John saw later in Revelation, that was the plan. That was what God wants, and that's what will transpire. Revelation 5:9, let me read it to you. It says this, and they sang a new song. This is John looking ahead. And they sang a new song. He's seeing heaven, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, that you is Jesus, and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Revelation 5:9. That's the plan. The plan is every nation, every tribe, every people, every language is the plan. But they weren't following the plan. At least most of them weren't. There were a few exceptions, as I said. And most notably is the exception of the church in Antioch. Antioch is the place where believers were first called Christians. Before that, the New Testament church, the church of people who were following Jesus, they were just kind of known as a sect of Judaism. They were also Jewish, but they believed Jesus was a savior, and they were just kind of known as this sect of Judaism. But in Antioch, and they didn't name themselves this, other people started calling them this. They started seeing how they lived, and it was, well, you guys act like Christ. You guys act like that guy Jesus lived when he was here. And when they see how they were acting, they give him a nickname, and they start calling them Christians. You guys are like little Christ. You guys act like Jesus. Come on, isn't that what we want the world to see when they look at us and say, man, you guys are like him. You guys, and it happened there in Antioch. Before this, as I mentioned, the first century church was a little differently. But here believers began to establish themselves. And they began to be recognized in the community as unique. So I want to put all this together, what we've considered so far. Jesus, stay with me. Before ascending back to heaven, he commanded the believers to take the good news of Jesus to the whole world. He said, you got to tell everybody about me. Did they do it? No. That was the command. That was the plan. But they didn't do it. Instead, they just stayed in Jerusalem. They didn't go anywhere. So initially, Jesus says, take the gospel to the whole world. They're like, we got it. Jesus leaves. They say, what are we going to do? They said, we're just going to stay right here. They just stayed in Jerusalem, and they just told other Jewish people in Jerusalem about Jesus. Once persecution started, we just read it, and believers started being put in prison, and Stephen was killed and things like that. Then they scattered, but they didn't scatter because they were like, hey, let's go on some missions trips. They scattered because they were afraid. They scattered because persecution had started. Somebody said, well, I don't want to live here. You go to jail if you live here. I'm going to move over there and live in Rockville or somewhere. So they move. So when they left, they go to other towns. They go to other places, and they're moving around. And when they go to these other places, do they tell people about Jesus when they get there? Sure they do. They believe in Jesus. They're disciples of Jesus. But when they get there, come on, we just walked through this together. They're only telling other Jewish people. That's it. They get to their new town. They get to their new city. They only tell Jewish people. Hey, I noticed that you believe in this guy, Jesus. Can you tell me about Jesus? Well, are you Jewish? Well, no, I'm Asian. I'm African. Well, no, I'm Greek. Sorry. I only tell Jewish people about Jesus. It seems crazy when we look back on it. But they're only telling other Jewish people about Jesus. Things changed in Antioch. In Antioch, the church began to change, where we've read. Let me show this to you in Acts chapter 11. We read it to begin with, but verses 20 and 21, I want to read them to you again. Verses 20 and 21, it says this. Some of them, we just read, they were only telling other Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Things began to change. Some folks from the island of Cyprus, Cyrene, of course, you remember in our series, Simon from Cyrene, he's from North Africa. So we've got some folks from North Africa and some folks from the island of Cyprus there in the Mediterranean. They start mixing things up. They start telling other people about Jesus as well. Aren't you grateful that there were some folks who said, hey, we need to tell other people about Jesus? I know I am. Come on, because somebody told me, hello. Aren't you glad they started telling other people about Jesus? Because most of us would have been left out if it had stayed the way it was. They said, we're going to start telling everybody about this. And the church in Antioch began to grow. And as the church began to grow, it began to get organized, and leaders had to be established. And we could easily say that this was the first church to ever really grasp the importance of foreign missions, of sending people to the whole world to tell everybody about Jesus, because it was in Antioch where we get our first missionaries who were ever sent out. They come out of the church in this particular city. As it grew, there were a group of five people who were prophets and teachers, and they were leaders in the church at Antioch. And a couple of them we are often familiar with, but a couple may not have jumped out at you before. So I'm going to read it to you in Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3, it says this. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. We all know about Barnabas and Saul's missionary trips. This is who will become Paul. This happens in Antioch, okay? Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Acts 13, 1 through 3. In the first century church in Antioch, two of the five leaders are from Africa. They're African. We just read them. Simeon and Lucius are both of African origin, the Bible tells us. That's something that would stand out to us. I want you to catch what I'm about to say. This is so important. Diversity isn't something that we came up with. Diversity isn't something that in modern time we realized that we needed to do or that we needed to incorporate or that we needed to be a part of. It's not some novel new idea. Rather, diversity is something that we've always been trying to get back to because it was always God's design. It was always God's design. God has always seen beauty in diversity. And it was modeled for us in the first century New Testament church. We don't really get to know Simeon and Lucius from the Bible. Luke, who is the author of Acts, travels with Paul and Barnabas when they leave and go on that missionary journey. So he primarily, of course, writes about that journey. That's where he is. And that was the plan. God wanted him with them. And that was how the Holy Spirit led him. Had he stayed in Antioch, I'm sure we would have got to know those other brothers better as well. But what we do know is that in the early church, when the early disciples were only telling other Jewish people about Jesus, there were some early believers from Africa who grasped the Great Commission and said, everybody needs to know about Jesus. We've got to go tell everybody about him. Everybody's got to hear about him. They grasped that we need to tell people about Jesus in our own city. And they grasped we need to send missionaries who will travel all over the world to tell people about Jesus. And they grasped that they needed to fast and pray about this. We just read where they were doing that. And they grasped that they needed to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And they grasped that they needed to be financially contributing in order to support this work so that missionaries could go all around the world and preach the gospel. These believers serve as an example example to us to this day. So I encourage us, I challenge us with the simple truth today of let's pray, let's give, and let's go. That's what they did. That's what they grasped. They prayed, they gave, and they went. First things first, come on, let's pray. It was in a time of worship and fasting and prayer that the Holy Spirit led these early believers to send Paul, it says Saul in the text, his name would be changed to Paul, that would send Paul and Barnabas out on their first missionary journey. They would travel from city to city, letting everyone know that Jesus is the way. And they were responding to the call from Jesus to his disciples that we find in Matthew chapter number 9. These believers in Antioch, as they were praying. In Matthew chapter number 9, 35 through 38, Jesus called us to this. Let me read it. He said this, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, catch what Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. These guys are responding to this. John the Baptist said that Jesus came to take away the sins of the whole world. He already did this through his death on the cross, but the world needs to know about it. And come on, 2,000 years later, the world still needs to know about it. Amen? They still need to know about Jesus. So let's pray. Let's pray for missionaries to be called and sent forth to the whole world. Let's pray that. Come on. As believers in Jesus Christ, we were told that the fields are white and ripened unto harvest, so that was what we needed to pray. So we need to make sure as the children of God that we're doing that. Amen? Come on, don't move, but turn your head to somebody and tell them we need to pray. Tell somebody, if you're at home, we need to pray. We need to be asking God to send missionaries all over the world. We need to be asking God to open doors. And let's pray for those who have answered the call. As a church, we have many missionaries in our missions family that we contribute to monthly. And I don't want to jump the gun because I already said the next point was let's give. But they're a part of our church family and we support them each month. We want to know that we're praying for them. We want to pray for God to refresh them and anoint them and provide for them. And to be present with them and for their ministry to be effective. Let's make sure we pray. When missionary Andrew Fuller was answering the call to missions, he said to the believers sending him, and I love this quote, he said, I will go down if you will hold the rope. I always love coming back to that quote. I will go down if you will hold the rope. What was he saying? It's the missionary who comes by SSA and visits us and is headed to a foreign field. And they're saying to us, I'll go to the foreign field. I'll go tell people about Jesus. Will you guys hold the rope? Hold the rope. We hold the rope when we pray. We say to them, you know what? You go. I got you. Come on. I got you. I'm not going to forget you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to remember you. I'm going to bring you before the Father and lift you up. It's easy when we bow our heads in prayer to only pray for our own needs. And there's nothing wrong with praying about our own needs. It is right and good. But let's be sure we're praying for the harvest as well. A harvest of souls. We are in a relationship with Jesus today because someone prayed. Guaranteed. Whether you know who prayed or not, you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ today because somebody else prayed. Someone else prayed for someone to be sent. Somebody prayed for you. We were the product of that. We want to make sure that we're walking in this as well. We want to be that someone for someone else. Next, let's give. Let's give. The believers in Antioch, they were senders. They gave their people and they gave financially. Men like Simeon and Lucius put their money where their mouths were. They dug into their own pockets and gave to support missionaries who were taking the gospel around the world. The first century church was good at this. They gave generously to support missions. And we want to make sure we're following their example as the gospel continues to go forth today. When a missionary answers a call and says, hey, I'll go to this country and teach people about Jesus, they don't get free airline tickets because they're a missionary. They don't get free housing when they get there because they're a missionary. The grocery store doesn't give them free food because they're a missionary. They don't get a free car because they're a missionary. They have to be financially supported to go to these unreached peoples and tell them about them. That's why we give. That's another way we hold that rope. We're saying, you know what? If you go, I got you. I'll take some of my money each month and I'll give it to help support you so that you can do this, so that you can go. It's important that we that we follow this example. Favorite passage of mine is one where Paul is writing to the church in Rome about a future missions trip. He's headed to Spain on a missions trip. I love this verse. I come back to it often. It's Romans 15, 24, where Paul says to the church in Rome, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. What is he saying? I'm gonna stop. It's why when sometimes when a missionary comes through here at SSA, I will say to them, and you'll hear me say this, I'll say, hey, thanks for stopping by Silver Spring on your way to whatever country they're going to. Because that's what Paul does there. He says, I'm going to stop by Rome on my way to Spain. And when he stops by Rome, what's going to happen? He's going to encourage them, but they're going to encourage him, and they're going to give financially to help support that work so that he can go there. That's what we do as a local church as well. COVID took so much from us in 2020, in all of our lives. Come on. We lost a lot. I know it's 2021 already. But over the past year, we lost a lot over the past year. And in your family, there are family functions that you have all the time, and over the past year, you didn't get to have them. Come on, you know I'm telling the truth, right? You didn't get to do them. We didn't get to get together. We didn't do summer things last summer that we normally would have done. Maybe there were get-togethers for birthday parties and things you used to do, and you didn't get to do them, and Christmas holiday things. It took a lot from us over the past year. As a church, it took a lot from us as well. We lost, let's be for real, we lost. There are things we always do as a church that we love, and we didn't get to do them because of COVID. And it took a lot from us as well over the past year. Things we do every year that we love that are a part of our fellowship, we didn't get to do them as a result of it. One of those things that we lost was our All Nations Weekend. Oh man, we love our All Nations Weekend. Come on. We love it. It's wonderful. We celebrate missions. We come together. We bring food from our home countries from all around the world and share it together. It's an exciting weekend. We couldn't all pack together in the fellowship hall and eat food together this past year because of COVID. We didn't get to do a lot of things that we love to do. Come on. Aren't you hoping we get to do that this year? We're going to get past this thing, praise God. We're going to get past this thing. But we lost a lot. We're being for real. We lost a lot because of this. And it was one of the things that we missed. And in missing it, it was one of the ways that we're challenged each year and reminded to give to missionaries and to give to support them is during that All Nations Weekend. And that didn't get to be a part of our regular year in that regard. And yet at the same time, that doesn't change the fact that as a local church, we're still supporting all of our missionaries on a monthly basis. Those checks go out every month to missionaries all around the world. 60-plus missionaries and missions organizations that we're giving to each month all around the world that we're helping to support them to take the gospel. Praise God. Praise God. I want to commend you for your missions giving, and I want to encourage you at home, if you're watching here in this room, let's make sure that beyond our regular tithes and offerings that we're regularly giving to the support of missionaries who are taking the gospel around the world. That we're marking that little box, missions, on our offering envelopes. That's so important. Giving faithfully to missions is an important way that folks are sent. So it's our way to hold the rope. And then just as a final thought today, we've got to pray. Come on, the believers in Antioch, they prayed. We've got to give. The believers in Antioch, they gave. And then let's go. Let's go. The believers in Antioch didn't only send missionaries. The Bible is very clear that they also told their own neighbors about Jesus as well. In Antioch, that's where they quit telling just Jewish people, and they started telling other people in their own city about Jesus as well. People just started hearing about Jesus there. They were missionaries at home in their own neighborhoods, on the job, in the classroom, and they spoke. It specifically says they spoke to Greeks. That's those from the Roman Empire, and they were letting other people know about Jesus. So let's make sure that we're speaking to other people about Jesus in Silver Spring. Amen. Let's tell people in Wheaton about Jesus. Let's tell people in Olney about Jesus. Let's tell people in Rockville about Jesus. Let's tell people in Washington, D.C., and Gaithersburg, and Germantown, and up in Baltimore, and Brookville, and we're at Kensington. Let's make sure that we're also lights in our own community to let folks know about Jesus as well. Let's go. That's not always easy to do. Come on. It can be easier sometimes to just put $20 in an offering plate for missions than it can be to tell your coworker about Jesus. Hello. You know I'm telling the truth. It can be easier sometimes to say, let me just give $50 to help that missionary going over there than it can be for me to tell my own neighbor about Jesus or my own coworker about Jesus. It's not always easy to tell people about Jesus, right? It isn't always easy. Some folks are just naturally gifted as evangelists, but the call is to all of us. So since it isn't always easy, let's pray for divine appointments. I love where God has set up divine appointments in my life where I haven't even planned on telling somebody about Jesus, and somehow my conversation with somebody just goes in that direction where they ask questions and bang, we're just in the midst of it. Let's pray for divine appointments in our lives where God will open doors. Let's continue to demonstrate the love of God through acts of compassion to our community, where they will see the love of Jesus through us. And let's be bold enough to ask questions of folks to say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you as well? My wife was telling me about a conversation she had just this week, just a couple of days ago, with our neighbor as well, and some stuff he was going through. And she was encouraging him as well to pray. And he's not someone who's attending church or anything like that. But she's saying, you know what? His name's Rich. Rich, you got to pray. You got to pray. We need to be bold enough to say things like that to people, to speak up. And most folks, not everyone, but most people, if you say to them, can I pray for you? Most people will let you. People who never come to church usually will let you. If you say, you know what, can I pray for you? I'm someone who prays. Can I pray for you? Most people will say, yes, pray for me. So when you're in that context, let's be that light. Let's pray. Let's give. Let's go. Our church is a diverse church family. We praise God for that. Not all churches are, but we sure are. But it was always God's plan. It was always God's plan for every demographic to hear and know about the good news of Jesus Christ. And 2,000 years ago, there were some believers who first started to do that, praise God. These believers, Simeon and Lucius, who were among them, who were following God's plan. And today they serve as this great example to us as we continue to follow Jesus, that we keep praying, we keep giving, we keep going. Amen? I want to invite Kelly, Jonathan, our worship team, to come back and join me at this time. This is our Communion Sunday. And communion's real fitting today with this message as well. Because when Jesus taught us, at home, I hope you have your elements ready. When Jesus taught us about communion, he told us that we would, that through communion, he said, we would proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So that's what our call is to do, is to proclaim God's death, to proclaim Jesus' death until he comes, to let folks know about it. And of course, we're proclaiming it here today, even in this room. If you're in the room with me today, you will notice that our communion cups are a little different than what we've had before. I just want to point that out. There's a little bit of a learning curve over it. Initially, you're going to want to have the juice on the bottom. Make sure you have the juice on the bottom and the bread up top, because we'll partake of the bread first in a moment. And don't peel both off, or else the juice is going to run everywhere all over you. So you're initially, in just a moment, in fact, you could go ahead and peel back for the bread if you would like. You'll just peel that top layer off, and that gives you access to that bread. And then wait, don't peel yet for the drink. You'll flip that over. These are a little easier to work with than the ones we were using before, we believe. But you hold off before peeling that one. But you can go ahead and get that bread in your hand if you would like there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We're gonna worship through communion today. Through it, we're being reminded today of what Jesus did for us, but we're being reminded today as well of the importance of proclaiming the Lord's death. So I'm going to be praying, whether you're at home or in this room with us today, I'm going to be praying for fresh anointing on us and for God to empower us as we head out this week, that we're going to be like those believers in Antioch, that we're just going forth as the light of the world. Come on, the world needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Hallelujah. And we want to work to reach the whole world, but we want to reach our own community as well. Kelly, I'm going to invite you to begin to lead us in this song, The Blessing, if you would. And as Kelly leads us in that, I want to encourage you, you could stand if you'd like in the room or keep your seat. I'm going to leave that up to you. But I want to encourage you to begin to prepare your heart and your mind, and just let's get our focus on him as we remember the cross of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. let it be. Amen.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. Your children and their children and their children. Amen. 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 Amen.
Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, for giving your only Son on our behalf. While even as we've been led in that song of a blessing there, Lord God, and believing for your favor upon our families, many of us who are a part of our worship time today, both in this room and at home, there's some folks I know who are believing for sons and daughters to come to faith in you, believing for grandchildren to come to faith in you, perhaps great-grandchildren to come to faith in you, Lord God. And we right now, Lord God, is even as we've been challenged to pray and give and go, we pray for our own families as well this day, Lord God, as we come to the communion table. We pray for our own loved ones, Lord God. And while it's wonderful that we're here to celebrate your death, it's our heart's desire, even, Lord, as we know it is yours, for our whole households to be in relationship with you. We know your plan is household salvation, Lord God. So we pray. We pray for laborers to be sent forth around the world, yes. To our own community, yes. But even to our own loved ones today, we pray, Lord God. Divine appointments on the lives of our own loved ones, Lord God. Send forth laborers to our own families and friends, Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus, that they might come to know you as well. We know that that was the plan all along. We know that the plan goes through the cross. We know that there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ and the cross. So we thank you for the cross this day. Jesus, we thank you that you left heaven and that you came to earth and that you lived in a body of flesh. We thank you that you lived a life where you knew no sin. And we thank you that you humbled yourself and were obedient and willingly gave yourself. No one took your life. You laid it down. You gave yourself. You went to the cross for us. We thank you that you allowed your body to be beaten and broken on our behalf. The bread that we hold today reminds us, Jesus, that you lived in a body of flesh. It reminds us that your body was broken, that stripes were borne in it on our behalf, Lord God. You told us to not forget that. You told us to partake bread in remembrance of that. We remember it today. We remember your body, that you gave it for us, Lord God. We remember it with thankfulness. From grateful hearts, we remember it. Bless the bread as we partake of it together today in remembrance in Jesus' name. Let's take the bread together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. From your cup there, if you would as well. You may want to leave it still attached a bit to not lose track of it. Father, we continue to look to you with grateful hearts, thanking you. Jesus, we thank you that you humbled yourself as we've prayed and went to the cross. We thank you that your blood was shed, that blood that knew no sin was shed on our behalf. We thank you that the message that those believers in Antioch were proclaiming believers from Cyrene, believers from Cyprus, believers like Simeon and Lucius who were going out and telling everybody about you, Lord God. They were telling everybody that you had shed your blood on our behalf. We're so grateful for that today. We're so grateful that our sins are cleansed. Our sins are washed away. Our sins are washed and made white as snow through your shed blood, Lord Jesus. There is no redemption. There is no forgiveness of sin apart from your shed blood. We're grateful for that today. We proclaim your death today, Lord Jesus. We do so from grateful hearts. We know the cross was powerful. We know that the cross brought healing. We know that it brought healing of all of our needs. It brought spiritual healing, but it also brought physical healing. It brought emotional and mental healing. It brought relational healing. It brought healing in every area of our lives. We know that when your word declares by his stripes you are healed, it means in every area. It's not limited to one area. It's every area of our lives. We're so grateful for the healing that comes from the cross and from your blood, Lord God. I do pray, God, in the name of Jesus, and that you will bless the cup today. And I pray, Lord God, that when we partake of it, that healing will flow, Lord God, that healing will flow in each area of our lives where we need it. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Bless it now, we pray. Let's partake of the cup together.
May his favor
yes.
be upon you
yes.
and a thousand generations and your family and your children
yes.
and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children.
Yes,
be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children.
Come on, let's stand together if you're still seated. Would you stand?
May his favor
yes.
be upon
We're gonna close
you
with this.
And a thousand generations
and your family
and your children
and their children
and their children.
Yes.
Be upon you
yes.
and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor
be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and their children and their children
and their
Say,
children.
May his presence, may his presence. God, we give you praise. Come on, speak some words of thanksgiving and adoration to God right now. Thank him, praise him. We give you praise, oh Lord. We thank you for the cross. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us, Lord, to walk in the example that these first century believers set for us. That as we pray, give, and go, we will go with your anointing, fresh anointing on us, Lord God, that we will be lights in the darkness, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that as we give, Lord God, you will bless us back, that you will bless us so that we might be blessings with our lives, Lord God, that you will speak and reach out through us, we pray. I do pray, Lord God, divine appointments before us as we go forth, and we believe for our households, for household salvation this day, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, Amen, amen. It's good to be in God's house today. I'm so glad you were here with us. I'm glad you joined us at home as well. I'm glad you were together with us in this time of worship. I want to encourage everybody who's here and those of you watching as well, live victoriously in Christ Jesus this week. Come on, let's walk in Him with our whole hearts. Amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thanks for joining us.